I like things simple. And if you're going to communicate effectively, you have to make things simple. That does not mean you take that which is profound and make it less than profound, but you got to make it simple. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at this series, looking at a series of passages of Scripture that we hope that you can take home with you, entitled A Family Survival Kit, about how we can learn some very key things to help us in our family life and really relationships in general. But this morning I just want to really key in on just one single word. And that word this morning is the word honor. 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 You are well aware that when the writers of Scripture, the New Testament anyway, when they sat down to pen what we have before us under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, they did not write in English. They used the common variety of Greek of their day, and that's what's preserved for us in the original, and then of course translated for us English speaking or whatever language we speak around the world. But the Greek word translated honor in our text that we're going to look at this morning is tamao, which, if you could really get a handle on what that term means, and then we see how it's translated, it's going to open up some thoughts to us. And the basic definition revolves around some of these concepts. Honor means worth, evaluation, price, appraisal, or assessment. It means to look at something and to ascribe a value to it, to give it a price, to give it a worth, if you will. If you own property in Kanawha County, or if you live outside of Kanawha County, whatever county you live in, here in West Virginia, you can go down to the courthouse and you can find an office there that says assessor on it. And if you own property in this county, your own vehicles or any other type of real property, you can go in there and they have your name. And they have a list of what you own. And it's the assessor and staff. It's their job to take what you own and assign to it a particular value. And you're well aware, are you not, that whatever value they assign to it, that's the basis of your property taxes that we all so gladly and cheerily pay year to year. But that's what this word means. When you honor someone, when you give honor to someone, you are making an assessment. You are making an appraisal. You are ascribing to that person the value you place on them. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And I am convinced that if we can take just a small step forward in our understanding of what it means to honor others, it can have some absolutely revolutionary results in our lives and in our families. I begin with this statement, this very basic premise, this idea, and that is this: giving honor energizes human relationships. Giving honor energizes human relationships. In our title, we went just past it there a moment ago, but we're talking about how can we maximize that giving of honor. How can we do that? Well, this is why we need to do it. This is what we need to do. Giving honor, it gives life to relationships. So I don't know how you've come in your relationships and whatever relationship that may be, whether you came in and everything's firing on all cylinders. Maybe that's your status this morning. Or maybe you come in and say, you know, my relationship is on life support this morning. Irregardless, this is the principle that God, I think, wants us to learn this morning, that in the giving of honor, honoring others, whether you're cruising down the highway or you're in the tow-away zone, this is what's going to empower and energize our relationships this morning. Now, I also know I can read faces fairly well, and I also know me fairly well. But there are some of you that are already a little skeptical of that premise. Oh, I know where this is. You know, for 2 weeks he just jumped on us about we have to love everybody. Love, 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 love. And now he's going to say honor, 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 honor. Well, you know, it might be all right to honor some people, but yeah, let's just face it, there's a few people that if I could just raise the window shade and look into the depths of my soul, there's a few people I just really don't want to honor. Okay? And maybe it's because that person has hurt us, or that person has offended us, or that person has been part of a dysfunctional relationship, or whatever it is. So I know my task this morning is to prove that premise to you. And if I just proved it and it was just my premise, that might be a hollow victory. But if, as we look into God's Word, if we can prove that premise from God's Word, that can be a revolutionary reality in your life and in your home and in your world. So I want to take you this morning, if you will get there as quickly as your fingers can thumb through the pages of your Scripture, if you have a Bible in front of you, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to convince you of this reality, that giving honor is that which energizes human relationships. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. And this is what we're going to find from this verse and some others. Honor is at the heart of the first relationship. Honor is at the heart of the first relationship. Look at verse 2, Ephesians 6. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. The first relationship, the first human relationship, God says, honor your father and your mother. Now, you don't have to be too much of a biblical scholar to figure out where the Apostle Paul got the material he's writing in chapter 6, verse 2, right? It is found, is it not, in God's top 10 list of commands all the way back in Exodus chapter 20. Has it ever crossed the screen of your mind of why, of all the things, all of God's top 10 commands that He could give us, why He chose this one? Look at the list here for just a moment. I think you can see that on the screen. Most of them, we can understand this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, we understand that. God is supreme. God is God. You shall not make any graven image. Of course, God doesn't want us to be worshiping an image or an idol when He is the true God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We understand that one, don't we? Because God's name is holy and special. And don't defame. Don't drag God's name through the gutter. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, God is desirous that we would worship Him. Thou shalt not kill. We understand that, right? Check. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Check. Thou shalt not steal. Check. Not bear false witness. Check. Thou shalt not covet. We understand that. But right there, do you notice number 5? How does honoring your father and mother in our society, it seems a little strange, doesn't it? That ranks up there with not murdering and committing adultery and lying and stealing and defaming God. But it's right there in the text, isn't it? Honor your father and mother. You ever wonder why that's included there? Let's explore that for just a moment. Honor your father and mother. And then he goes on here in 6, 2, and 3, which is the first commandment with promise. And it does include this, a promise that God wants to bless you. If you obey this command, God wants to give you a special blessing because you have honored these special people in your life. Well, think about this for just a moment. It is indeed the first relationship. We're told by researchers, and I'm not quite sure how they prove this, but we're told by researchers that a child still in its mother's womb, because of the sound of the mother's voice and sometimes the voices of others in that family or close by, can actually begin the emotional bonding process prior to birth with the birth mother and perhaps others that are nearby because of the sound and the tone and the intonation and the rhythmic pattern of the mother's voice. And then shortly after birth, we understand that as that child begins its developmental process, it begins to realize that there are other people on this planet, and it begins to develop the capacity to recognize. And if you are a parent, you've had this is a great moment. When that child looks at you for the first time and you realize that they recognize you, that there's a reaction, there's some facial expression that says, yeah, they know me. And then you get to that point where the babblings and the noises they make start to form into concrete concepts and words, and whatever term they use to call you as mother or father when it first comes out and they speak your designation as mom or dad. What a moment. What a moment. You see, the very first relationship that we enjoy with anyone outside of ourselves is those that are caring for us, our parents. And God says in His top 10 list that we just looked at, He says, honor is at the first, it's part of this first relationship. I want you to honor that person and develop that concept. And we as parents need to help our children understand that. And by the way, if God makes it a priority in His list of commands, it should be a priority in our what we do to train our children to honor their parents. But here's the point. You see, at that seed point of human relationship, God says, I want it to be all about honoring, ascribing worth, value, to make the proper appraisal, the proper assessment about the value of that person in your lives, because that is now going to germinate and grow and flourish to be the normative quality that He desires and He expects and He demands in every human relationship, that we would honor others. Now, you also have to understand that is not the default setting on humankind. Have you figured that out? That we're just all about honoring everybody else. We could take a field trip. We're not going to do it. But we could take a field trip and go downstairs, down under our feet, and go down there and find the 2 or 3 year old classroom, and we could do a little research about whether the default setting on humanity is honoring others. And some of you with 2 and 3 year olds are glad we're not going down there because you don't want your kid to be Exhibit A, do you? 2 or 3 year old, what's the world all about? The favorite two words are me and mine, you know. Every toy is mine. Every meal is about me. Every place we go is about me. Every day is about me. Everybody else is here to serve me. Me, me, me. It's the default setting. God knew the default setting on humanity, and He says, let's just change that. Let's take you back to the way it should be. Honor your father and mother. Start with that relationship and turn that around so that it flows through all human relationships. Because it is indeed, friends, it is that which energizes all human relationship. If we could value others as God wants them to be valued. That's the reason He starts at this point. That you would honor Tamao, that you would ascribe worth and value and make the proper assessment, the proper appraisal, fix the proper price on others. We'll revisit this concept, I think. I'm going to give you about a 90% sure. Next week we're going to revisit this about caring for parents and honoring parents all of their days and some very practical things that we can help you with in that. But honor parents. So what do we do? So renew your honor. That's the proper response. So renew your commitment to honor. So renew your honor. Now, I know some of you are skeptical. I've given you a good push, but you haven't lost your balance and are moving backwards yet, okay? You're still standing kind of firm on this one. Because you know that your parents weren't perfect. Because there are no perfect parents. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect families. There are no perfect homes. Now, maybe you lived in a situation, grew up in a situation that was particularly less than perfect. That may be true. And maybe you carry some of that worth. But let me just give you this one more shove, okay? Here's what God requires, that you honor your parents. They may be long gone. But you can still honor them in your attitude and how you ascribe value to them, even being the imperfect people that they are or were. So here's what we need to just okay, I'm open to that. I'm gonna renew this concept of honor. I'll work on it with you. Okay, now I want you to look at chapter 5, and I want you to go to the last verse of chapter 5 here in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5 and verse 33. We made a little progress in proving this to you. Let's take another step at it. Let's take another stab at it. Verse 33. Now, we looked at this passage, the first part one of real love, and we looked about how Christ loved the church. We did that back in January, and we did real love part two last week on Valentine's Day. Now, verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Do you see it there? Now, I want to admit to you, that is not the same word as honor in 6:2, but it is a synonym of the same word. It means to honor, respect, to show some of the old translations might even say reverence. It means just to show respect, or honor will fit there as well, okay? So, this is number two. Honor is at the heart of the first relationship. Honor is the basis of the marital relationship. It's the basis of the marital relationship. If you're here and married, or you soon will be, or you ever might be, you know, this is normative in that relationship. The first relationship, this relationship. And we're going to expand it further in just a little bit. Just so you will know, this is ladies honoring, respecting husbands. Just so you'll know that this is an equal opportunity message, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. And I want you to see it from the other perspective of husbands to wives. By the way, gentlemen, if you're a husband, this is your verse. If this isn't your verse, you better make it your verse. This is your verse. I'm talking to you. Are you listening? Okay, this is your verse. Any couple that I'm going to officiate their wedding and I have the privilege of sitting down trying to teach them a few things from the Word, I look the guy right in the eye and say, this is your verse. If you practice this, you're good to go. I don't know if they ever hear me. You know, they're just sitting there all in love. And Pastor, we will never have any conflicts because we love each other. It's so tough to be the guy that bursts the bubble. It really is. You just really, it's not the role anyone relishes, you know. But this is your verse. Look what it says. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Stop there. If you did that for your wife, she would just, your stock would rise. Okay? It would be, you know, it'd be the best market you've ever seen. It would just soar. And understand what you need to key on. This is not the point of this message, but the key, gentlemen, is what it means to understand your wife. You can't understand women. You just can't understand them. You heard that one? Well, have you given it a whirl, huh? You know, give it a whirl. Be a student of your wife. Learn her. Know everything you can know about her. There's going to be some things that are unknowable, sure. But let be that which pulls at your heart rather than that which goes away. That's another sermon. Next phrase. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. There it is. Husbands, wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, give honor to the wife. And that weaker vessel there is not weak and like, you know, it's not of any value. It's like fragile, precious, a fine work of art. That's what he's saying. Like this precious treasure that you have. You honor her that way. So honor is the basis of the marital relationship. What does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? You know, let's see if we can make this as simple as I know how to make it, okay? This next section is not in your outline, all right? You have to actually write in a whole sentence for a change, okay? It's more than just one word, but it'll be all right. All right, I want to give you a checklist, an honoring others checklist, all right? And just to make this practical, number one, value position, not performance. Value position, not performance. One more time. Value position, not performance. This is a tough one. I don't know if you read your bulletin this morning letter or not, or you read it online earlier in the week, but if you didn't, you're going to get around to this morning, all right? Let's bring up the next picture. Queen Elizabeth II has graced us with her presence this morning, at least virtually. We here in America, you know, don't you just find the whole concept of a king and queen kind of bizarre in our world? I do a little bit, you know, especially when you read this is, if you get to meet the queen, here's some of the protocols you have to follow. Number one, when you meet the queen, women should curtsy and men should nod their heads. Where do we teach women to curtsy anymore? I don't even know what really that is, particularly. This one I love. If the royal person offers a hand, the handshake should be short and not hard. So you just throw the limp fish out there, you know, the dead fish handshake. And this one, allow the queen to leave the room first. Back should never be turned toward the queen. You think of this woman. This woman has lived nearly 80 years and she's never seen a back yet. You know, you don't turn your back on the, because she's the queen. That's why you do that. During meals, the queen eats first, and when she stops, the others at the table stop. Wouldn't you like that? You got a big, big fork full of something good, and it's on the way up, and oh. Do I put it back or do I hold it still? I don't know. If something drops at dinner, do not speak. Someone will retrieve it quietly and without fanfare. I find that a little bizarre. And I think why we find that bizarre in America is this, and there's a point to all this. We value what someone does. You know, if we're going to vote for somebody for office, we want to know what their resume is, don't we? We want to know what they did, what their education, what they've done in life, what they've accomplished, what they've built, how have they succeeded? What have they done? And then we've got to listen, what are they going to do for my causes and my things? And when all those questions get answered right, then I'll check the ballot and I'll vote for them. It's not just you show up. They have to reach some level. What did the queen ever do to become the queen? She was born to the king and then he died. That's all she did. That's the only thing she did to become queen. We don't like this just because it's her position. We base everything on what's a person do. Now I'm going to turn it all right back around on you, all right? Get ready for 180. We're going to twist it right around. You see, number one, what we said a moment ago, value position, not performance. If we're going to honor someone, we have to honor their position and leave performance out of it. Well, I don't like that. If they don't do for me, if they don't follow my checklist, no. If you're going to honor somebody, you honor their position as a creation, as a possession, as a treasure that God has made. And you honor that position, not their performance. That kind of rubs some of you. I can tell. You're glaring now. It's rubbing you the wrong way. Well, especially when their performance is not what I like or what has been a smite to my heart. Well, you got to honor position, not performance. After all, what did God do for you? When he decided to take us, the sinful creatures that we were, and when he sent his son to be our Savior, did he base that on our performance? Or did he base it upon the position as creatures that he loved and created and now wanted to redeem? Let's face it, if our salvation is based on performance, we all go to hell. Amazing grace, our chains are gone. God wants us to honor like he honors. Checklist item number two. Express value in words and actions. Express value in words and actions. In other words, you need to talk to that person that you honor and you value with words that express your value of them. You are a treasure. You are a gift. You are special. And then that needs to be backed up with actions. If you're going to communicate effectively, you not only need to make it simple, you got to make it memorable, all right? And so, you know me, we push the envelope a little bit. So I'd like to select, we'll just pick out this area over here. I have a special gift that I would like to give to a couple that came this morning that was just going to help us understand what it means to express value in words and action. I know it's a stapler, all right? I'm not giving a stapler away, all right? You're all afraid of me, all right? Can I give you all a gift? Would you be willing? Okay, it's right here. This is going to help us all understand how to express value in words and actions. Okay. Now, for those thousand of you here that didn't get a crown this morning, you can go to Burger King. They have a nice supply of them over there, and they'd be happy to give. Now, you can't wear that all day. You got to share it. Like every hour, it switches. Okay. You want to know how to express value in words and actions? You treat your wife like a queen and treat your husband like a king. Well, they don't deserve it. You value position, not performance. Yeah, you can go ahead and switch it. Yeah, you wanted to get that thing off your head quicker than anything. All right? Let me just tell you one final thought. If both parties are committed to this, and I know in some cases that's not the case, but if both parties are committed, if you're committed to treating your wife like a queen and she's committed to treating her husband like a king, that's going to be a pretty happy palace to hang out in. Amen? Some of you are still not convinced. That was the most anemic amen I have ever called for in 30 years of being a pastor. That was as bad as it gets. Number three, value flows outward. Value flows outward. What's it mean? How do you do this? How do you honor others? Value position, not performance. Express value in words and actions. Value flows outward. It's that not about me thing again. It's about you. What do you need? What do you want? What do you like? and simply do that over and over and over again and be committed to it. So, honor is the basis of the marital relationship. So, let's go to our so here. Honor is the basis of the marital relationship, so display your honor. Display your honor. In the last century, in the first third or half of that century, one of the renowned newspaper entrepreneurs was William Randolph Hearst. If you've ever seen the film Citizen Kane, Orson Welles based Kane's character on Hearst. He was a collector of art, extremely wealthy man. He was a collector of art. He was doing some research in some of his art, and he found a particular piece of art that he said, I got to have this. So he called one of his employees in and says, you have one job to do. You need to find this piece of art for me. I'll pay you, pay your salary, however long it takes, wherever you need to travel, whatever you need to do, you got to find me this piece of art. It took the man over a year to locate this piece of art. He drew a salary from Hearst for over a year to find this piece of art. And he finally came back to Hearst and said, I have found your work of art. And he says, where is it? He said, it's in your warehouse down in Long Beach. You bought it some years back. You know, sometimes, friends, we might think we got to search the world over for the treasure that we need. The treasure that God's given you, He's likely already given you. He's already given you. So display that honor. Chapter 2, verse 7, same book, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. I think I said that wrong. 17. Yes, honor is part of that first relationship. It's the heart of it. It's the basis of the marital relationship. 1 Peter 2:17, honor is the key to every relationship. Honor is the key to every relationship. Look at this verse. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Let's start with the end of that verse and work our way back. Would you like to? Honor the king. Well, we don't have a king. We've already talked about that. But by principle, we believers, we followers of Jesus, are to show respect and honor to those who are in authority over us. In our case, we have the privilege of electing and having part of that selection process. We're to honor them. You understand as well, do you not, that we have a more than two century old history in this country of, because of our freedom of speech, thank the Lord we have it, but, you know, of doing practically everything but honoring those that are authority over us. Now, I'm not saying this. It doesn't mean you can't disagree. We have that freedom. It doesn't mean you can't express your disagreement with a policy. And we Christians sometimes are so passionate because it's not just about physical policy or financial policy or any of those kind of issues. But for us, there are some things that the government intersects with us. It's a moral thing. It's a biblical thing. And I think we have the right to express our opinion and do what we can, everything within the law. But here's what we can't do. We cannot get to the level of utter disrespect for those in authority. Why? Because verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 2 is in the Bible where it says, honor the king. You know, you can disagree and still be respectful about it. You can look someone right in the eye and say, I 100% disagree with you on this subject, but and still show some honor and respect to that person because they are a person. We Christians, as a lot, aren't particularly good at this one. Especially if there's someone in some office somewhere, some level somewhere, where we got a real problem with. Now, we can express ourselves, but what should be the tone from the believer is one of respect and honor. Because after all, and we could prove this from Scripture if we had time, whoever that person is in authority, on some level, they're doing God's work. On some level, God's using them. As weird as that may sound and as understandable as that may be at times, but it's nonetheless true. Now, go back to the beginning of verse 17. Honor all people. I got to tell you, my day would be a little easier today if God just suddenly took those three words out of the page of Scripture. Just pull those out and... Because, as I said earlier, there are some people it's very difficult to honor. Let's just be blunt, honest. There's some people we just don't want to honor because we need them to experience something or to feel something or to change their ways or take the responsibility for their actions. Well, they should do all those things perhaps, but if they don't, you don't have the right to dishonor them. After all, you remember this? Is this not in Scripture? Even somebody who's an enemy or an enemy of our way of life or enemy of our country or enemy of our faith, ultimately, God does give governments the rights to defend and to enact justice. Human government is one of His institutions. But on a personal level, vengeance belongs to God. That's, and He can do, by the way, He can do a lot better job with it than you can and I can. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to honor all men. How can you do that when it's... Well, with God's help, we can at least take a step in the right direction. Maybe a little itty-bitty step, but we can take a step in the right direction. But you see, go back to where we began. Honor your father and mother. He infused into that first relationship this concept of honoring others, that other people are valuable, they're of worth because they're created in the image of God, because they are God's children on some level. May not be redeemed, but they're children of God by birth. And if they would choose Christ, they could have that relationship for eternity with Him. But they are of value because God made them. We get that from our parents, it expands into our family, and that should exude as a believer, as a testament to our faith. It should just flow from us into every human relationship. Honor all people. There's one more section of that verse, and it's right there, tucked right in the middle of it. Do you see it there? Love the brotherhood. I'm going to put that under honoring all people. But the next two words, fear God. That is not the word that we're looking at, but it could be a synonym. It means to reverence, to hold holy, to be in fearful awe of, to respect. We could say it this way, honor God. And ultimately, at that ultimate relationship, that's where we need to be. Let me just say this. There's two ways you can honor God. First of all, if you're here and you don't know Him as Savior, if you never trusted Christ as Savior, that's an open question in your heart. Where you need to start by honoring God is to humble yourself and say, I want to receive His gift of salvation through faith. And maybe you don't understand that. Maybe that's a foreign concept to you. You don't know where to begin. You don't know where it ends. You don't even know if it's true, but you know you need to know more about it. You feel that stirring in your heart pulling you that way. Honor God by taking that step and either of faith or of finding out more about what a life of faith, what salvation is all about. You can do that by coming here at the end of the service. A pastor will meet you. I'll be out there. You can go to the living room. Someone you came with, or at any time, any place, you let one of us know, and we'll do whatever we need to do just to take this, nothing else, but take this book and share with you how you can honor God by putting your faith in Him. If you're here as a follower of Jesus Christ, there's a great way you can honor Him, and that's simply by obeying Him. Your command for the day, the first phrase of verse 17. Honor all people. It might be difficult. It might be hard. You may not still be convinced of it. But I think we pulled out enough ammunition out of God's Word today to kind of just clear the deck on this subject. As a testament to our faith and our obedience to Him, I'm going to take a step of honoring others. So commit to honor. That's what we need to do today. That I'm going to commit to honor. If it is the key to every relationship, I'm going to hold others as valuable. I'm going to praise them highly. I'm going to treat them in words and actions with honor and respect. And we end with this just simple question. Just you got to answer it and I got to answer it. How are you doing with honoring others? How are you doing? How do you evaluate that? I dare guess that all of us have a little ways to go. Let's take a step beginning now. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You tell us very specifically, very directly, that what You expect in our relationships. Lord, we know perhaps there's someone here this morning that is struggling in some unique and special and hurtful and painful way. Lift them up. Help them. Help us all, Lord, to honor all the people in our lives. And thereby we honor you. Help us in that, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.